Hey, this is Joey Vera from Armored Saint, and you're watching CMS TV.
Chris Aiken presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken. And today on the show, we get to talk to a legend. It's always good to talk to the legends of the business. Of course, one of my all-time favorite bands is Armored Saint, as well as yours, I would assume. Great band, killer. They're getting ready to go out on tour with Queensryche starting on the 27th of the month, out at the House of Blues in Anaheim, California. Long stretch of touring for Armored Saint, which we will talk about. And here to talk all about it is the bassist and the main man himself, Mr. Joey Vera. Joey, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? How's everybody doing?
Good, man. It's great to talk to you, man. And it's great to see that you guys are going out on what I would say is a very long tour for Armored Saint. I'm going to start there, man. This could just be faulty info, and I understand it. I'll tell you where I got it so that you're not blaming me if I'm wrong. But I went out to Setlist, that Setlist FM that keeps track of everybody's tours. Yeah. And it's, according to it, in the history of the band, you've never done more than 56 shows in a year. Does that sound about right? For Armored Saint?
I don't know if that's true in a year. I mean, we're doing nearly that on this run alone.
And that was why I was going to bring it up.
Which is why you're bringing that up. And right. I think that this run itself might be the longest run we've ever done.
Okay.
All at one time.
Right on. Now, why is it? Is it just that everybody's schedule is aligned for a rare moment where you could do a extended amount of touring?
No, I mean, this tour is all built around Queensryche and their agents and stuff. So this is what they planned out. This is what they wanted to go out and do. This is the offers that they had to go out and do. And they invited us to go on this tour with them. So we gladly said yes, although we were hesitant, like, oh my God, that's a lot of dates. But, you know, we love touring with those guys. They're a lot of fun. They're our friends. They've been our friends for quite a while, so that's going to make it a lot easier, actually, not just a little easier. It's going to make it a lot easier because it's always great when you're touring with people that you get along with. So,
right on.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
And it'll be good because as Armored Saint always does, you'll push them to put on their best show as well. I know. I think it's been a little while since I've seen you guys play. I think the last time I saw you play was here in Cleveland with Saxon. And, you know, that's obviously been a while now, but it showcased exactly what Armored Saint always does, which is pushes everybody to put on their A game, because you certainly don't want to, you do not want to follow Armored Saint and then suck.
Well, you know, we're inspired by a lot of different things, and we're inspired by those guys as well. So they have this top notch, their show is just like, so good every time I see them. I just saw them on the Monsters of Rock cruise, and they're just as amazing as ever. And so, it makes you want to push harder too. So that's, I wouldn't call it friendly competition, but maybe it is friendly competition.
Right
We
on.
have both have a lot of respect for each other, and we're out there to have a good time, and I think we want to give both bands want to give the fans something that they will always remember.
Right on. Joey, for you specifically, but obviously for the band as well, you've been doing this for a long time, but you specifically do it in multiple bands, and I have to imagine at some point you have to say, man, why am I packing everything up again and going out on the road again? Has there ever been that part of you that's like, maybe it's time to wind down?
I'm not winding down completely. I don't see myself retiring, let's say.
Sure.
Sometimes the older I'm getting and the more hands you start putting in different cookie jars, it gets way more difficult managing all that. So there's times where I'm like, what am I doing? The thing with me is like I just love working with people that I respect and really like and enjoy. I don't like say yes to everything, but what I do say yes to are things that I honestly care about. So it's getting harder to say no to those things, the things that I care, that I might be interested
Sure.
in stuff like that. But so I don't know. It's management. It's difficult, and I don't think I'm ready to call it quits yet.
Right, no, thank God for that. Is part of it just straight up the challenge of it? And this is probably more of a recording and writing part than actual touring, but you've done some such diverse stuff, whether it's Armored Saint or obviously with King Diamond, and then there's Fate's Warning, which is a totally different animal to it, and the 50 other things that you've done in between. Do you do some of that stuff just for the sheer challenge to challenge yourself as a musician?
Exactly. I have been, I mean, I guess I'm blessed that I have opportunities to do other projects with different people, and those things that I do with everyone is always, it's a learning experience for me. I think it made all of these projects, they make me a better player, better writer, a better performer, better in the studio, better on stage, every time I do it. So, I mean, for me, this whole journey is what it's all about. This entire arc of the journey is really what it's about. It's not about, having fame or fortune in one thing. It's about all of it, the whole arc of the journey. And for me, learning and becoming a better musician all around is that's the thing that I'm striving for.
Right on. Well, Joey, certainly you're aware of this, and the world is aware of it. As we get older, we're seeing our bands that we were fans of, from the 80s. I'm 55 years old, so I grew up in the same era, this era. We're seeing them either disappear or they're less what they were. There's two guys from this band or one guy from that band that still call themselves that band. Armored Saint, you guys are intact. I mean, it's obviously there's, one change that you could not have, there was really no way to not make that, but the band is largely intact from where you started. That all by itself, is an accomplishment. That's probably a bigger accomplishment than any musical accomplishment you've made, is to keep the lineup together and not hate each other or any of that stuff. What has been you guys' secret that everybody else missed the boat on?
Well, I mean, we have an advantage in our group that the three of the members have known each other since grammar school.
Okay.
I think that's probably, if there's one answer, I mean, there's actually a lot of answers to that question, but I think the one thread that is constant is the fact that myself, John, and Gonzo all went to the same grammar school, and we were in the same grade, and we had the same classes from the third grade until, well, that's where we first knew each other, playing kickball in the field and, that's where it started. And by the time we got to middle school and we were in the seventh grade, the three of us just sort of bonded together along with a few other friends outside of the Armored Saint. But the three of us were the constant friends that have always been friends. And then Phil Gonzo's brother is a year older than us. Excuse me. And so he kind of came into the fold sometime around seventh and eighth grade. And so that's the thread. I mean, we're basically family. You know, we have this lineage that goes really, really far. Right. You know, we've had our lives are different now than they were then. You know, some of us got married and had kids. Some of us moved out of the city. Some of us just lifestyle changes, whatever.
Sure.
So our lives have changed a little bit, but we always have, with Armored Saint in particular, we have this bond that has always been pretty tight. And so we just, you know, I think that we were able to step back and say, like, this thing is bigger than all any of us separately. So we have to sort of treat it with that respect, that it's more about the ball of Armored Saint than it is the individual people inside of it. So we try to give that a lot of respect. And if it ever did come down to it, I we would probably not let it happen. You know, none of us can foresee ever that there would ever be an Armored Saint with like one or two guys and three extra right. guys. You know, it just wouldn't be the same. And I think that everyone would know it. It would be this giant elephant in the room, and, you know, right. it would just diminish everything that we stood for in the beginning. So I think that's been probably, that's a long answer, but that's really the one thing that sort of is constant.
Sure. Well, I could tell you as a fan, the fans, we appreciate it. We appreciate the fact. And honestly, I mean, it's probably not so much by the, because let's face it, as fans, you guys are just, it's names we see in the credits. And once every 3 or 4 years, we see you guys pop up on stage. But the thing that we hear is we hear the consistency. Even when you guys have taken, you know, some extended time in between records, when you come back, there's no mistaking an Armored Saint record. It's not like you're like, this is our grunge period of Armored Saint, or this is our hair metal period. Armored Saint is Armored Saint.
That's great. I'm glad it comes across like that. You know, that's another thing we've really strived to do. And that's, you know, we've tried to straddle this line between having sort of like one foot in our history, like where we come from, mm-hmm. and the other foot is, I'm hoping anyway, that it's moving in the forward direction. It's going, you know, it's doing something that's challenging for us and our listeners, but not so much that we alienate everybody. We may have alienated a few people here and there with some records, but, you know, you can't please everybody all the time. And really the bottom line for us is that we just have to be true to what we're doing. We want to be expressing what we're at as musicians and as a band. But at the same time, you know, we're keeping a close eye on who's watching us, you know, so
sure.
we know what our fans expect. They don't expect us to rewrite, you know, Symbol of Salvation all over again, or Raising Fear, or March of the Saint. You know, they want elements of that, but they want us to do something that's also fresh and unexpected. And so that's really been the challenge for us. And it's good to hear you say that. I mean, when I hear that, it's great, because it means that we might be actually doing it.
Right on. Now, Joey, and again, I'm asking you some fan questions this run, but that's, you know, it's because I really never have.
All good.
Armored Saint for fans, and I personally have been on board since like 86, maybe, is when I think I discovered Armored Saint. And you guys have always been, for the beginning half of your career, I would say up until like 2000, 2001, you were always that band that fans said they should have been bigger, Metallica, Megadeth, Armored Saint should have all been kind of said in that same realm. Then somewhere along the 2000-ish era, you guys became one of the legendary bands from the era in the minds of fans, where, you know, even though you never had the huge notoriety, you became a legendary band. Did you guys notice that? And B, when, if you did notice that, did that change occur?
Well, I think that I know what you're alluding to, and I guess I would agree that there's been this sort of it almost seemed like a resurgence, but it's not really fair to say that, but it seemed like it did. The name of the band and the perception of the band was sort of elevated during that period between, let's say, when La Raza came out in 2010 and basically now, like, you know, Punching the Sky, let's say, as a bookmark ad, I mean, as a timeline. And I think, you know, I have to say that I think a large part of it is due to social media.
Okay.
Because prior to that, there was no real social media, MySpace notwithstanding, but it hadn't really infiltrated the world we live in now. So I think that that's been a large part of it. It's been like, you know, I think that our band has always been this sort of like a band that got, you know, the whisper band, you know?
Right.
Like, we weren't like the headliner thing that everybody knew on every headline of every magazine, but it was just sort of this whisper, like, you know, oh yeah, there's this band, Armored Saint, you know, they're from LA, you know, like, you know.
Right.
But because of the internet and because of the strength of social media and the way it works, people talk, and you get to see more. And so you become a bit more in the forefront. Now, that said, I mean, there's still quite a lot of noise out there, especially these days. The internet's just blown up with information and noise and stuff. So it's almost harder to stick out now than it ever was before. But I think that for a band like us, you know, I think because of the fact that our legacy has lived so long and that we've had this sort of history, most people know about it. And we have a long catalog of records. We continually make new music, and we also continually go on tour. And like you said, we're not on the annual cycle where we put out a record, go on tour for 18 months, come home, make another record, go back out another 18 months. You know, our trajectory is a lot slower, as you say.
Right.
So that has maybe even added to the sort of mystery or whisper, if you will, of this band, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with that it's, you know, and it's a cool thing. I mean, I actually embrace that, you know. It's not something we manufactured, but I actually kind of embrace it.
Right on. Now, Joey, I, you know, you obviously work in the business side of music as well, and certainly your wife does as well. I've noticed lately that a lot of the metal labels, the Century Media's, Metal Blade, Nuclear Blast, etc., are all moving their entire catalogs over to Bandcamp. And I'm curious as to why, if you have any knowledge of that at all, even. I mean, I love it personally. I love seeing that, and I work in the music business as well, trying to help artists get royalties. So Lord knows I understand, but I also understand that there's no royalties to Bandcamp, but there is the opportunity to sell merch and to sell, you know, tickets and whatnot direct. Is that the reason everybody's moving that direction? Is, you know, you guys have kind of feel like you've been ripped off by the streaming services, and this is a way that you can take back a little of what you should be getting from your work?
Well, I think that it's, you know, at this point, like I said a second ago, that there's a lot of, the internet has been blown open to the proportions that it has. There's a lot of noise out there and a lot of...
Sure.
It's difficult for groups and artists, emerging or legacy acts, to stay relevant and just keep your head out there and keep your flag waving, if you will. So, I think any platform that's available for whatever purpose, I think is a good thing, because after all, that's what we're all, I mean, as from the music business standpoint of trying to create, the most exposure you can for your artists, any platform, I think, is a welcome platform. I mean, even, I mean, let's face it, Spotify is kind of become this evil empire,
Right.
for a lot of people. And it's really only because of the lack of percentage that they're willing to pay artists for their
Sure.
streams. However, it's like the biggest game in town. So it's like you really have to play ball with the devil for now, and hopefully it gets better. So, like I said, any platform is a good platform, I think. So,
Right.
any way you can get out there and have your band seen or be seen by somebody is a good thing,
Yeah. I think David Ellefson said it to me best once. He said, "You can't sell steak if it's not in the grocery store." It's kind of that model
That's
these days,
exactly what
so.
that means.
Right. Well, before we go, Joey, I wanted to end, and this might be a little bit of a somber note, but we both have a had a mutual friend that passed away about a year ago. I wanted to see if you had a good Bob Nalbandian story to kind of wrap this up with, because I don't know about you, I miss that dude every day.
Yeah, that was really sad and really shocking and sudden,
Yeah.
because I had no idea that he was that ill. He was supposed to come see us play when we toured up there with Wasp and up in the Bay Area, and he didn't come to the show. It was like he was on the list and everything. Like, what happened to Bob, And then he texted us and said, "Oh, sorry, I just wasn't feeling good, so missed you guys, whatever." And then like a couple of weeks later, it was like he passed away. I was like completely blindsided by it. But
Yeah.
Bob was an awesome dude. I mean, him and I mean, in general, he had a great relationship with Armored Saint. He was one of our first torchbearers, for the group, and with his magazine, The Headbanger, it was a fanzine that he started.
Right.
And we were one of the first people he put on his cover, and he was just one of the first guys that got me into tape trading overseas. And so through him, he's the one who really helped kind of get us out there, and if it weren't for him, we wouldn't never have gotten noticed by Kerrang magazine, for instance,
Right.
and those things wouldn't have cascaded, the things that followed. So we always owe debt to him for being such a champion of the band. And him and I, like, I became pretty fast friends with him, and we just had this real, I don't really have like a particular story, but
Okay, it's fine.
we had this really he had this really weird sense of humor, and which I really appreciated. And so him and I used to go on these weird tangents and just bizarre stuff. Like, it wouldn't even make sense to anybody, but for
Right.
the weirdest reason, it was just so funny to us. And we used to have these little pranks that we would do to each other and stuff. And one day, one in one particular time, we were on the phone talking about something stupid. Well, of course it was stupid. It was, and that, by mind you, I mean talking on the phone. Like, we were actually on a. I was on my. I lived with my parents at the time, so
Right.
I was on the phone, the corded phone, like
Right, sure.
not a cell phone. And so we were talking on the phone, bullshit, bull crapping about whatever, and we said I said something like, "Dude, that's just. This is just late night regurgitation." And then, I don't know, and then it snowballed into this other rant, and we just were laughing and hung up. So then anyway, I was like, "Dude, all right, I'm gonna send you a present tomorrow." So I hung up the phone, and the next day I got a Ziploc bag, and I got a can of tuna, and I filled I put the can of tuna in the bag, and then I started putting everything I could find in my parents' pantry in it. Peanut butter, mayonnaise, mustard, pickles, like Ritz crackers, like I filled this bag up with all this crap. And so I ziplocked it, and then I went to the post office and I actually mailed it to him the next day. And I wrote him a letter and I go, "Dude, this is late night regurgitation disembowelment. And you're not allowed, you have to put it in your fridge and you're not allowed to open it for 1 week." So, and lo and behold, he actually did it. So he got the package and then he put it in his fridge. He was living with his mom at the time,
Right.
and his poor mom, and so he opened it. I go, "Dude, it's like Sunday. It's been like a week." And I go, "Dude, it's Sunday. Go open the package." He didn't know what it was because I didn't tell him what was in it. I just said,
That's hilarious.
"You gotta wait to open it." So he went and he opened it, and he said he almost vomited, and that was another laugh. But that's the kind of twisted humor
Yeah.
that we used to have, and all these pranks and jokes we would do with each other. But I miss Bob every day. He was awesome.
Yeah, I
We
totally
called
agree with
him
that.
the Mad Armenian, and
Oh yeah.
he was an awesome dude.
He really was, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this whole last year, especially with the Metallica record, because he's most synonymous with Metallica, obviously. And I'm telling you, every single time I'd have a Metallica thought, I was like, oh, I can't call him anymore. I was like, oh man,
Yeah, I
but
know.
great dude. I definitely miss him a ton, man. But I know what I'm not gonna miss, and that is Armored Saint out on tour with Queensryche. Coming and starting at the end of this month, going until I believe May, and then you
Yeah.
guys are off to Europe after that for the festival season. And
Yep.
busy, busy year for Armored Saint. So before we
Yep.
go, Joey, where should we tell people to go to keep up with you guys and tour dates and merch and all that stuff?
Yeah, the best place is armoredsaint.com. Very simple. Everything's there. It's all linked to everything. You can find tour dates there. You can find it's just news, stuff that's going on. We have a new single coming out in June that we
Great.
recorded. So yeah, everything's there. armoredsaint.com.
Very cool. Well, one more time, catch Armored Saint out on the road with Queensryche starting the end of the month. And Joey, as always, great talking to you here on Chris Aker Presents.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You see all the commercials for online gambling, but you're afraid to try them because you just don't want to lose, right? Well, play with the house's money. Right now, sign up with FanDuel at fanduel.cnspn.com and get $15 of free bets just for using our link. Sign up today at fanduel.cnspn.com and get $15 worth of bets on FanDuel. Be responsible and play today. FanDuel.